Let's take our Bibles and we'll turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're doing part 2 on the importance of preaching. The importance of preaching. I've used this story before, but it fits with what we're introducing as far as our topic. There was a young man and he had a horrible stuttering problem. So he went to a very well-renowned speech therapist in his city, and the therapist had an unconventional method for getting him to repair his speech problem. So he treated the problem by having this young man walk around with a mouth filled with marbles. And so he told him, fill your mouth with marbles and walk around and try to talk, work on it, it'll help you in pronunciation. And every week he would allow him to take one of those out. And amazingly, his speech began to improve. And finally, after he had lost all his marbles, he became a preacher. All right, so that's an introduction to our topic here on 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice what it says. We picked up and we're looking at the latter half of 1 Corinthians 1. Today we'll look a little bit at 1 Corinthians 2, but it's all talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, coming to the church of Corinth, and then he left Corinth, and he's writing back in his first epistle, his first letter to the Corinthians, and notice what he says in verse 17. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to, guess what, preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, and the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then you go down into verse 29, and it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, what should happen? Let him glory in the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray as we continue our thoughts this morning on the importance of preaching, you would guide and that the word of God would have free reign. You would resist and push out the devil, his demons. Lord, hold them out and help us to be able to have clarity from the scriptures. As always, Lord, I ask you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at the importance of preaching last week. And as a way of introduction, we said there was a couple of reasons why in our society preaching has become looked at as foolishness and it's disdained. And people are trying to come up with other ideas in their church rather than preaching. And we said, number one last week, one of the reasons is because our culture has moved away from the authority of Scripture. And as our culture moves away and it takes this book and it says that it's silliness and it's not important, what's going to happen is we are going to not follow the Word of God and understand the importance, because all through the Bible you see lifted up, especially in the New Testament. Okay? And that is the church age. In the New Testament, what we find is that preaching is vital. It's important. Yes, I like singing and I like the music, but that is not the priority, and it will not be the priority in this church. The priority is the preaching of God's word. It is the preaching of God's word, which according even to Paul, it brings a man, it brings a person to the place where they understand their need of Christ. The world looks at it and says, oh, that's foolishness. It's not saying that you can, as a church member, you say, oh, yeah, you know what? And some of you might have thought this and you're like, oh, yeah, you're just a fool. It's not saying that the preacher is a fool, all right? Just so some of you are like, finally, I knew you were a fool, all right? But what it's saying is the world considers preaching foolishness. Why are you going to church? Some of you that have been saved a long time, but some of you that have just been saved recently, you have heard this. You go and somebody, maybe over Christmas, over the holidays, you spend some times with some unsaved relatives, and they look and you say, why do you keep going to church? All you keep talking about is church and church and church. Because guess what? The Bible instructs us to go to church and hear preaching. That's why we go to church, to hear preaching. So we said last week, our culture has moved away from the authority of the Word of God. Secondly, we said, our culture has lost its fear of God. And I mentioned that even within our church that we need to be careful. How do we see it? Sometimes we come in and we're sitting down and even some folks sitting here last week, you know, you're already asleep by the time that I say turn to 1 Corinthians 1. It's just a natural reaction. You'd say, I'm just tired or whatever. But so do you have the same reaction when you pick up your video game? No, you don't. Because you consider the things of God silliness. And that's our society. Our society, I'm sorry, and I mentioned this last week, even Hollywood, some of you think that Hollywood is real. And I'm sorry, it's fake. Okay, even Captain America, you know that's a comic. You do know that, right? You know that even the actor, he's probably a wuss in life. Right? And then all of a sudden, because he acted like a man, he can now give us instruction and he can write a book on manhood. Wrong. Oh, you know what? You acted like a man. Literally. Acted. You aren't a man, you acted like a tough man. I have no idea what you are like as a real man, but you really get paid to be a fake. That's the serious truth about Hollywood. They get paid to be fakes. And yet some of you are like, I saw that on TV. And that's where you get your authority from. Right? So instead of the Word of God, which is God-breathed, it's God-written, instead of the Word of God being your authority, some fake person that gets paid to act as a fake person, that's your authority. And that's ridiculous to me. So there's the reason that the preaching is belittled is because of a lack of the authority of the Word of God and then the fear of God. We've lost that. And we tried to discuss that as far as what that means. But then I thought of a third reason. A third reason why preaching is disdained today. Because there is an increasing desire for entertainment in our churches. Even some of you this morning, you come in and you sit there and we pull out the hymn book and you're like, oh, look to the Lamb of God. I don't know. I don't really feel anything. I'm not. All right. Some of you may be grabbing the air like, I'm not feeling. All right. So feeling doesn't have to be involved in my worship. All right. It doesn't have to be involved. All right. Sometimes I feel okay and I'm like, oh, yeah, amen. Okay. But there's other times that I hear a song was just sung about abiding with God. Lifting up and telling me that I should have a desire to abide with Him. And to spend time with Him.
that aligns right up with Scripture. It doesn't matter what I feel. That is worship. And I should say, yes, put your flesh down and say, man, glory to God, that's what I want. But yet we've got to come in and we've got to be entertained. All right, I like a funny story. I shared a funny story at the beginning. I like having some idea that we can relate a little bit. As far as I understand that, I've got a gift, as I've told you. I've got the gift of sarcasm. All right, I like throwing that in there. It's kind of hard to separate it from my being. And so I understand coming to church, we should work at it. We should enjoy hearing the preaching. But really, when the Word of God is opened up, I should zone into it. It shouldn't be that I'm going to naturally fall asleep and all of a sudden I'm going into sleeping bag mode. But what is it? Because we've got to be entertained. Last Sunday night, my wife was showing me something from a church down in Florida. And this is for real. In the last couple of weeks, this church is well known for the entertainment industry. And they did not do anything Christian. What they did literally at the beginning of their service, their church members reenacted for real, not with church words, for real, a Justin Bieber concert. In church, we watched it. And they're out there. I mean, they had all the gear. They were out there rocking and rolling. And then the pastor got up, opened up his Bible, and for 20 minutes justified why he could have the world in the church. And all of them were like, yeah, oh yeah, that ain't church. It's heresy. It's also ungodliness. And what we want now is come in and get entertained. My ears get tickled. That's what it says in the book of Timothy, that in the last times, they're going to want preachers that tickle ears. What's the idea? They just tickle and makes me feel good. You know what I want when I come to church? I want preaching that is infused with the power of God. And it doesn't make me tickle. It makes me squirm sometimes. We want the fear of God to be evident in our church. We don't want to be entertained. I want convicted. And our church is today now an entertainment. And then, all right, this is the stupidness of this guy that's up there. He doesn't even know what a dictionary is. He said, you know what? First of all, and he had a big screen behind him. He said, you know why we did this first of all? And he had him turn to the book of Acts. First of all, we did this because we want to have fun. And it was huge. No scripture. Just want to have fun. And everyone's like, yeah, you idiot. You're sending people to hell because you're saying church is just about having fun and bringing the world in. The Bible says, love not the world. The Bible says that we aren't supposed to have anything to do with it. Now we got to live in it and we've got to make our money there. But I don't want our young people to think that this church is okay with the world. The world and all of its silliness, the world and all of its unrighteousness. We need to come to church and say, no, it's not about entertainment. I can come and enjoy church. I can come and hear God speak to me. But it's not just some feeling that, oh, mom, I don't know. As I always say, I always quote it. You could have had a bad bit of beef. All right? You could have ate something really weird this morning. And all of a sudden, the only thing you're feeling is you need to head to the toilet because it's coming up. Who knows what you're feeling? I'm coming to church because God says preaching is important. And it's not coming to get entertained. That preacher also, he put up a big sign and he said, hey, the number one reason why we did that is because we wanted to have fun. And church should be fun. Like, okay. And I'm not saying that we should all come in and be mopey. I love coming to church. And I think the Holy Spirit, when He's inside you and when He's working on you, you love coming to church, but it's not walking around and I'm rolling around and I'm like, ah! I don't want to be in a church like that. I don't know, maybe at your workplace people are doing that all the time, but I think I'd smack people. I want to come and learn something. I want to hear God speak. But then he also said this, and then a big sign came up and he says, the second reason, I can't remember if it was on the sign, but he said another reason that we do this and people oppose this is because we're secular. He goes, that's not even in the Bible, guys. They're saying we're secular. And I'm like, you are so stupid. Have you ever, I actually looked up the thesaurus, if you don't know what that is. You look up in a thesaurus, and guess what you find for secular? I looked it up. You can look it up. Materialistic, worldly, material, profane, temporal, earthly, non-religious, of this world, unsacred. Now, listen, Mr. Stupido. Get a dictionary or look up on Google. I'll send you a link. And guess what? I don't want in the church anything that's temporal, unsacred, unrealistic, unreligious, sorry. All the lists that I just gave you from the thesaurus. I don't want our church to be materialistic and to be earthly and to be temporal and to be unsacred. I want to come to a place, and it's not just our buildings, but I want to come to a place that I step into, and I know God's going to meet with us. I get enough of the world, and I get less of it than you do. But those men and ladies, you know this, and you talk to me all the time because you work in it day in and day out. And why would you want a place that you call church that it's just like going to work tomorrow morning? I want to go to a place that I walk into and God's presence is there. I want to go to a place and I don't have to hear God's name in vain. I want to go to a place and I don't hear the rock beat and the worldly music. It's gone from here. Why? Because we believe in the importance of preaching. Preaching. So what does the Bible say? Notice in our text here, in verse 17. It says here in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but notice what he's told him to do. To preach the gospel, and then he explains what that means. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross. So obviously that must be part of the gospel. Look at verse 23. For we preach what? Christ crucified. Alright, so here God is telling us what we're supposed to preach. So this week in part two, last week we looked at some ideas of what preaching is, kind of as an intro. But in this part two, what we see is a couple of questions answered for us. Question number one is what I'm supposed to preach. Verse 18, verse 23, look at chapter 2 now. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring it unto you the testimony of God, but for I determined not to know anything among you, notice, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So guess what? It tells me in the Bible what to preach. Christ. And Christ crucified. Now you'd say, well, wait a minute. Every message? Oh, yeah. All right, and so those of you that know the Bible a little bit, every message on Sunday morning, Sunday night, you come in, I'm like, all right,
we're once again looking at Matthew chapter 26.
Like, oh, I got it.
Jesus died on the cross.
So what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? I started thinking it through. So what does that mean? To preach Christ crucified. So it's preaching the cross. Remember, I preach the cross. So what does the cross, preaching the cross, tell you and I? I thought of three things. One, preaching the cross tells all of us we're sinners. That's what it does. You'd say, wait a minute, how does that do it? By preaching the cross, we're presenting the depravity of man. The inability in man's own way and self to find eternal life. It's condemning and it's outrageous to the world. Why? Because I'm saying that you sitting here on your own, you can't get to heaven. That's preaching the cross. Because Christ died for all men. That includes me. And it includes you. And it also, Christ died for what? Sinners. So when I preach the cross, I'm preaching about the inability of myself and yourself to get to heaven on your own. That's preaching the cross. It's why the world gets mad. It's why religions are made. Why? Because we don't like preaching on the cross. Because the cross says that on my own merit, I can't get to heaven. And you know, in our flesh, we don't like that. Because I want to be able to earn my way. I want to be able to make my own path. But Christ says, no, you got to do, no. Frank Sinatra thinks he owns doing it my way. No. Christ said, way before Frankie Baby did, Christ said, you're going my way. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Frankie, you can do your way, but I'm pretty sure I know where Frankie's way ended up. And it's sad. But that's preaching the cross. I don't use this term as a cuss word. But if you decide to do it your own way, you'll go to hell. Again, I don't use it as a cuss word. And that's how the devil has tricked this world. Hell's a cuss word now. It's just, I mean, people say that. You know, see how he's able to trick people? So it's just a cuss word. It's just a word. No, it isn't. Hell is literal. It's fire. It's pain. It's torment. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be there. And the Bible says, preach the cross. Christ crucified. So really, when we're preaching the cross, what are we doing? We're preaching that we are sinners. So when we preach on sin, guess what we're doing? We're fulfilling the commandment that is written in the Bible in Corinthians that preach Christ crucified. The cross reveals to us that we are sinners. The cross also reveals another thing, and that is the holiness of God. You say, wait a minute, how does it reveal the holiness of God? You know how? Because when I preach the cross, I say that the debt has been paid. So what does it tell you about God? His holiness demands payment. So you know what that means for all of us sitting here? When you sin, there's consequences. And it has to be taken care of. You know, in our world, the idea that, you know, sometimes you'll see an accident or you'll have a tragedy happen. And somebody will come up, and a lot of times it's even liberals. Liberals who get on media and they'll say, somebody has to pay for this. You know where that concept comes from? Right here. Because when we think of the cross, we all of a sudden understand that God's holiness demands payment. It's not free. Even salvation isn't free. It costs something. See, God's holiness. See, when we're preaching Christ crucified, we're revealing to us that we're sinners, but we're also understanding that God is holy. And His holiness demanded a payment. It wasn't just free. And so when we preach Christ crucified, the cross reveals to us that we're sinners. The cross reveals to us His holiness, the holiness of God. But then the cross also reveals to us the love of God. How do we see that? Because God so loved the world. You see that debt. You see, there is a truth that when we preach the cross, there's a point that it's overwhelming, and it should be to us. Why? Because I seem to be in a bad way here, God. Why? Because my sin has to be paid for, and I'm a sinner. What am I to do? Well, the world has gotten away. All right, remember, that's why we want a church that preaches Christ crucified, preaches the cross, preaches the gospel. Later, he tells us what the gospel is that Christ was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians explains what that gospel is. So some religions have gotten away from preaching Christ and Christ crucified and the gospel. So what they do is, you're a sinner, it has to be paid, and they stop. So then they came up with a way for you to pay it. You know how? Come to church every week and pay us X amount of dollars, or say the rosary, or say this, get baptized, do this, this, this. Guess what? This is what I can say about all of them. It is heresy. You know why? Because they're not preaching the whole gospel. They stopped. Why? They stopped because they wanted to keep man on a hook instead of giving them true freedom. And in Christ, when we preach Christ crucified, when we preach Christ, the full gospel, guess what? It brings you to that place, and I'm lost and I'm undone, but it doesn't stop there. Because praise the Lord, God's love made a way for me to be saved. Oh, I'm undone. I'm unworthy. But guess what? God, in His mercy, in His love, and His amazing grace, gave us a way to be saved. That's why the whole gospel has to be preached. The Word of God has to be preached. Printed this out. This was Friday, I think. There's a big mega pastor down in Atlanta, Georgia. And this is what he said. Right, this, he said this in the last 2 weeks from his pulpit. He said that God's words from Mount Sinai don't apply to people anymore. And he listed them out. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And this is what he said. Participants in the new covenant, that's the book of Hebrews, are not required to obey any of the commandments found in the first part of their Bibles. Participants in the new covenant are expected to obey the single command Jesus issued as part of the new covenant. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You know what that is? It's a bunch of heresy. You know why I know that? Because once again, and I think I may, maybe I should. It'd be a nice thing to do. I think I might send them a Bible and say, I missed your Christmas gift. I thought you might use this and read it once. Right? Because guess what? In the Bible, it says in Matthew 5, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And then he says, till heaven and earth pass away. One jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And this is what he says later in the same passage. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in heaven. He also said in John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what that guy? He has a bunch of malarkey, and guess what? According to him, he has 33,000 in attendance this weekend. I don't care how many you have. You're not a biblical pastor. Because a biblical pastor takes the word of God and preaches all of it. He doesn't tell you to chuck some of it. He doesn't say that's irrelevant. If it's irrelevant, I was telling the deacons this on Thursday night, if it's irrelevant, if it truly is, what he said is the Ten Commandments are no longer in existence. If that's true, I should be able to go down and kill them. And get away with it. Why? And take his words to the judge and say, hey, he said it's no longer valid. So I was just obeying him. I joined his church and I killed him. It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's not being a biblical preacher. So let's close with a couple other things that it tells us. Notice in chapter 2. In chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2, it tells us what we're supposed to preach. What is it? Christ crucified, the gospel, the preaching of the cross. Secondly, it tells me how to preach. Notice what it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. So guess what he says? He says, first, that excellency of speech or of wisdom, that refers back to the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks, even now, we look back at them, and what were the Greeks known for? Philosophy. For wisdom. Remember Paul, I think it's in Acts 18, he stood on Mars Hill, and we actually one time on a tour for the, with the church, we went up to Mars Hill and we sat on that knob or stood there on that knob and we read that passage and we thought about it. And there on that Mars Hill, what it was known for is the philosophers, the thinkers would go out there and they would talk and they would discuss. Even now we look back and there's writings that are there of Aristotle and Plato and others that you can, they love thinking. They love words. In some ways, it was wisdom. It was entertainment. And guess what? Paul says, how am I supposed to preach? I don't preach for entertainment. I don't preach for entertainment. Can preaching be enjoyable? I hope so. I love preaching. Some of it is because when you're saved, God transforms you, changes you inside, and he starts making you more and more into the image of his son. And because God says that preaching is good, then I understand that it's good, and you start liking that. That's what happens. Why? Because God's changing us. But we don't preach for entertainment. Secondly, notice in this passage it says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So it's not for entertainment, but it's also not for the praise of man. Spurgeon said this, we have plenty of people nowadays who could not kill a mouse without publishing it in the Gospel Gazette. Samson killed a lion and said nothing about it. The Holy Spirit finds modesty so rare that he takes care to record it. Say much of what the Lord has done for you, but say little of what you have done for the Lord. You know, it seems like all of us, like, oh yeah, the other day, this is what, yeah, take the eye out and eat it, okay? Because guess what? It doesn't seem to be much about the Lord anymore
but it's all about what this person does. And oh, that person. And I appreciate folks that are very gracious and say, hey, thanks for that sermon. But I pray that even from your side, that it's not to praise me, it's to praise God. Because preaching is not to uplift a man, it's to uplift Christ. We should envision Christ as we sit and we hear the words of God. It should make us bow before Him. Oh, Paul said that when he said in 1 Corinthians, I am the least of the apostles. In Ephesians, I am the least of all saints. In 1 Timothy 1, I am the chief of sinners. And if anybody could brag and have a testimony of being used by God, it was the apostle Paul. None of us have reached his attainments. None of us have reached to his level. None of us have been left with half the New Testament written by our hand. But the apostle Paul knew his place. And know yours. And I need to know mine. And that is, how do we preach? Not for entertainment and not for the praise of men. But notice what he says. So how do you preach? Not for entertainment. Not for the praise of men. And my speech and my preaching, look at the last half, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand. Guess what happens if all it is my words that you're hanging on? Your faith, notice what he says, he answers that. Your faith will stand on the wisdom of man. No, I don't want that. Let's preach not for entertainment, not for the praise of man, because we want it to stand. Did you see the second half? Your faith will stand then in the power of God. If a church preaches properly, your faith can stand. That's right away what I see in that passage. Some of you are faltering. I pray it's not my fault. It could be that you're taking the Word of God and you're not applying it. We're going to talk about that next week. That's part 3 and 4. Right? Because there's pitfalls of a pastor. I'm going to try to deal with some of those, but there's pitfalls in the pew. And one of them is taking what is given to you and never applying it. You're a hearer and not a doer. And the Bible says, I was reading it this morning, in Luke chapter, I think, 12, Jesus said, blessed are ye that hear and do my words. And the Bible says here we can stand. It's possible. It's possible to win the fight against Satan. I'm not saying you're not going to have a falling or a fault or a time that you sin. None of us are perfect. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have a day. I was telling my Sunday school class this. You know, every day you got to suit up. You can't one day hop out of bed and say, you know what, today I'm just going to just kind of wing it today and just see if the devil will attack me. Watch out. You're toast. And you'd say, well, you're saying every day in this life, I got to be ready for the attacks of the devil? Yes. In heaven, that's my rest. In heaven's my rest. Here in this earth, which really in the whole scope of time is just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. So every day, you got to be ready. And what are we going to do? We're going to preach. And what are we going to preach? We're going to preach Christ crucified. What will that do?
the gospel, Christ crucified, the cross, that will come to me and reveal to me that I'm a sinner. And this, that's why the preaching of the cross is not just for the unsaved, it's for the saved too. Why? Because going back to that cross reminds me that I'm a sinner. That's all of us sitting here. That takes care of my pride. It takes care of me when I want to say, well, look what I've done. What have you done? Did you save your soul? Nope. Then get on your knees and bow again at that cross. Understand that if it was up to you and if it was on your shoulders, you'd be in hell. But thankfully, because of God's mercy and grace, I have pardon for sin because my debt was paid. In the Bible, we see that preaching is important. I found this yesterday. I looked it up because I wanted to see about this man. There's a pastor. His name's Clayton Doss. He's still pastoring today. He's been pastoring for 43 years. And this is what he wrote. He says, our preacher is just too hard. Our preacher is just too hard when he preaches. We must laugh, be hugged, entertain. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Lighten up, preacher. Take it easy. Cut some corners, they say. But God's man knows such things won't cut it on the judgment day. The pastor should ease up on doctrine and try to just get along. That way all the brethren together could sing the same old song. He makes too much of outdated and costly separation. But God's man knows he must pass the faith to the next generation. Preach only the positive. Just bless them. And be a man about town. But God's man knows in the long run, that will only bring souls down. Get the people, no matter the cost, nickels and noses in the game. But with the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus, that wasn't the name of the game. And why, oh why, must he always defend that old black book? He's always saying in the authorized version, only we should look. It seems to us that other versions do just as well. But God's man knows that twisted scripture sends people to hell. Brimstone, Bible education, loud preaching, that's a lot of prattle. But God's man knows folks fall away if their cage, he doesn't rattle. Make it smooth. Leave out some of the parts of the Bible. Those things that scatter. But God, man, he knows it's all God's words. And it's all that matters. It doesn't really count how the members live and dress. But God, man, he knows, God's man knows that's why the country is in such a mess. Oh, dearly beloved, let us faithfully adhere to the old paths and the old paths trod. We'll be very glad we did when at the end we face God. I love that an old preacher sat down and penned some words because I'm sure that he came to a point that somebody left his church because they said his preaching was too hard. But let's be distinct as a church. And let's make sure that the preaching of the gospel, of the cross, and of Christ crucified is very, very important.